On today's episode of Secrets to Scaling Your E-Commerce Brand, I got to have the CEOs of LoudCrowd and Creator Commerce on, battling it head-to-head. No, I'm just kidding. They were super, super nice. But we were able to go over why both of their softwares will absolutely change everything when it comes to the way that we interact with creators, with influencers. The way that TikTok shops is really changing everything for the way that we interact as brands with influencers. Guys, this is an episode that you are not going to want to miss. Hey guys, are you a scaling e-commerce brand this year? I imagine you are, or maybe you're just trying to save some cash. Let me share one of the best kept secrets in managing inventory, Finale Inventory. Honestly, I've been using Finale for about 4 years now. I love when sponsors come on this podcast that I have actually used and I absolutely love, and I've witnessed its impacts firsthand. As Finale celebrates its 10th year, it's empowered thousands of brands across various industries, from food and beverage to electronics to apparel, like in our case, auto parts, and yes, even fireworks. That's actually how they started. They've helped them manage their inventory and warehouses efficiently. This platform has been instrumental in preventing overselling, improving efficiencies, and enabling rapid scaling for growth. I want to tell you, the reason that we went to them is because we were having massive overselling issues. And when we went to Finale, it almost solved them overnight. One of their success stories involves scaling a brand from 755,000 to 75 million. Sellers have seen their return rates reduced by 40%, and countless hours have been saved off warehouse workflows, which we have seen personally, absolutely seen. The value Finale inventory brings to the table is truly remarkable. And here's some exciting news for you. You can get 20% off the first 6 months when you sign up as a new user with the code UPGROWTH2024. Go to finaleinventory.com and start your free trial and take advantage of this special offer. Remember, it's probably a lot more affordable than you actually think. And I know I'm always surprised when I see how small that bill is. Remember, use UPGROWTH2024 at finaleinventory.com. Now to today's episode. Hey guys, Jordan West back with another episode of Secrets to Scaling Your E-Commerce Brand. I've got a new type of feature that I'm going to be doing here, and it's really been inspired by my new time on Twitter. You know, for a long time, I was a LinkedIn guy, having nice posts out there where everyone agrees with you and it's beautiful. And on Twitter, there's a little bit more opinion and there's a lot more back and forth, and I've really loved it. I feel like I'm actually a Twitter guy now. Now I go to LinkedIn and I'm like, oh, this is boring. Like, what's going on over here? And with that, I've realized that there are a lot of tools out in the space, a lot of people out in the space that have some differing opinions on things. And so I'm going to be bringing people on who either have differing opinions or they might have a tool that may be competitive in some sort of way. And we're going to be talking through some of the why behind that. We're going to try not to get too nasty with each other today. This one definitely will not. It's been like only niceties since the beginning. It's definitely not doing what I want it to do. So these guys are both amazing. So I'm going to go one at a time here. First of all, I have Creator Commerce versus LoudCrowd on today. Kenyon, let's start with you. Kenyon's from Creator Commerce. Tell us just a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Yeah, thanks, Jordan. And really good to be here. It's great to meet Gary. It's been pleasant so far. But yeah, I'm one of the co-founders and the CEO of Creator Commerce. We help brands improve the performance of their affiliate and influencer programs through co-branded storefronts and shopping experiences, with direct integrations with their affiliate software, such as Social Snowball or Shopify Collapse, for an example.
Cool. Awesome. That's great. And Kenyon was originally came from Tapcart. Great people over there. I mean, I feel like my entire Shop Talk experience was just with me and Neil just hugging each other the whole time. And classic. John a little bit in there too, and some of the others, but great people over at Tapcart. Gary Garofalo, think I got that right, from LoudCrowd. Did I nail it? Oh, yes. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you guys do.
Yeah, my name is Gary. I am the CEO and one of the founders of LoudCrowd. We solve a very similar problem to Kenyon. So we build creator storefronts for brands. I would say the big distinction is we build these storefronts actually on the brand's domain. And so the problem that we're solving, same as Kenyon, we think there's a major, major issue with when creators try to drive traffic and sales for brands. It's not the best experience. Brand e-coms are not very well designed for actually converting social traffic. And so we're trying to solve that with creator storefronts. It just lives in a different place.
Cool. Awesome. So interesting how you guys both came to this. I'd love to hear where you guys kind of saw the need for this. Was this like some kind of personal need? Did you guys before this, were you doing like some kind of affiliate, you know, like working with affiliates before? I think that there's something interesting in here just in general before I ask for you guys' opinion. I think the interesting thing is TikTok shops, right? When it comes to all of this and how it is changing everything, you guys are both positioned incredibly well right now to capture a huge amount of the market that TikTok Shops is creating for everyone, right? Influencer marketing is never going to be the same. I can't even imagine paying $1,000 for someone to post right now. Like, yeah, right. No, we can do a performance deal. That's the only way that we're going to do it. And it's interesting too, because I'm trickling performance down to everything that I do in every sort of sense, even with at the agency, everything's just like, yeah, no, let's just do performance. It's win-win. And so I think that you guys are both in an interesting spot where you're able to capture that. Gary, for you, what was that personal need that you saw that you wanted to go and create something like this?
Yeah, really good question. So LoudCrown's been around for about 5 years. The original problem that we were trying to solve was, I just remember I was sitting around with my co-founder one day. We've been friends for 15 years or so. And we were just pontificating on the state of influencer marketing. And our major frustration was that the partnerships, particularly 5 years ago, were not very authentic. Like, you'd get somebody that is promoting some sort of product that really has nothing to do with their content. And we got really frustrated in that this is stupid. This is clearly an ad. And this isn't very compelling. Whereas we see examples of very authentic partnerships, very great long-term partnerships, very great kind of customer-earned partnerships. And so the first problem that we tried to solve at LoudCrown was, how do we make it possible to kind of elevate brand advocates at these different brands? And all of our software was focused on automating the relationship between a brand and its creators, making sure people are talking about it very authentically. Where that led to probably a little bit more than 2 years ago. And as the best ideas always really spring from your customers, we had two or three customers very, very early on talking about, hey, this is cool, but like, this is top of the funnel awareness. We really care more about bottom of the funnel sales. And so after enough internal conversations, that LoudCrown decided that we wanted to make a very, very big bet on how do we help brands really monetize their creators at the bottom of the funnel. And we launched a product. That product was in our other earlier product of automating influencer relationships, very successful. But the metrics that we saw from the new product were incredible. And we realized we were solving a very, very large problem. So we still do everything that we've always done, but we decided to make a very, very large bet on monetizing creators, seeing that was a very, very big opportunity.
Kenny, before I get to you, I just want to kind of bring up a really interesting point and something I remember learning like years ago when I was first learning marketing. Before I ever got into all of this, I used to be a paramedic, and on my way into work, I would always be listening to podcasts. And so I happened to get into the digital marketer sphere and Molly Pittman that was with them at the time. And I remember her talking about AdSense, right? And this whole idea that like when somebody clicks on an ad, it just makes sense for them to go to another page that looks just like the ad, right? And so we kind of get that on the marketing side. I think I would say maybe 20% of agencies or people who market understand that. We know that that's a good principle. And yet it's never really been a thing on the influencer side. So I love that you guys are solving this. Kenny, where were you coming from when you were seeing this? Was there any like inspiration from your TapCart days here? Or like, what was that like for you?
There really was. I mean, I think our whole story begins at TapCart. And I love that you bring that up, because it's like, it's got to be marketing 101. And she's got to meet your customer where they are in the context they're coming from. And I think that's what we ultimately saw was missing. Our story began at TapCart, as you can imagine. And what's interesting at TapCart is like, it wasn't always this huge sales channel. It wasn't always pulling all these numbers. Like, they love talking about the 6 billion GMV. Great numbers these days, but it never started that way. Back when TapCart started, my co-founder was the first engineer there. They weren't really this performance. They were focused on just like, you should have a mobile app because mobile apps are really cool. They're really good for brand awareness. That's totally a similar story. We've heard that before with influencers, where it used to be, give them $1,000, they're going to make a bunch of posts. It's really good for brand awareness.
Really good when everyone has money. Right? Then when it's like, oh yeah, our marketing budgets are huge. Yeah, sure. It's brand awareness. It's like, okay, well, we can't afford that right now.
Yeah, exactly. And it's hard to put that on the P&L and all that. It's hard to justify all that as well. So, but anyways, like my co-founder Chai, we were really an engineer product manager duo over at TapCart. Like, our whole job over the last few years was, how did we help take TapCart from being a brand channel to a performance channel? And by the end of that journey, we were looking at this industry. We couldn't quite escape it. We were hearing it from every customer we were working with, from Fashion Nova to Princess Polly, about how can we take more advantage of influencers and drive attributed sales. We looked at what they were doing today. It was just as you mentioned, like, people click affiliate links because of a namesake of a creator they trust. It's like you're getting dropped off before you hit the bus station. You're just in the middle of nowhere and you're like, where am I right now? So that's really where we came from, and where we were like, we know storefronts, we know how to build mobile storefronts. Let's take what we know, let's learn some new things and build something really amazing in this space.
Yeah. Yeah. Super cool. I want to bring up actually an interesting example that came to my friend Jeff had a shoe brand for years. And I remember him working with a fairly big influencer in Canada, Jillian Harris. And he decided that the best thing for his money, and he barely spent anything. I remember him telling me how much the contract was with Jillian because she just donates it all anytime that somebody pays her. I guess that's just not how she makes her money. And so it wasn't a big amount, somewhere in the like $5,000 range or something like that. But he's like, I want to make sure I get everything out of this. I know she drives so much sales. And it was really interesting because he spent the day before turning the website into Jilly mode. And I'd love to know. And I remember it being, oh yeah, I was up 12 hours or whatever it was, just turning it into this. And I don't even think he was on Plus at the time. So I don't know how exactly he made the switch over or anything like that. How long would that take? Gary, let's start with you. Like, how long would something like that now take if you were running an influencer campaign with LoudCrowd?
Yeah, really good question. And it speaks to, I think, one of the big use cases we had with our first really, really large client being Kohl's. And when they hired us to build storefronts on their site, it wasn't like, hey, this is cool and maybe we think this will work. It was, no, we did this last year. And these are the highest converting, most successful pages on our site.
Yeah.
The problem is they were really, really hard to build. So I don't think it's rocket science building a new landing page on a website. I think what's really challenging is understanding what the curations are from the creators, making sure that they're picking all their favorite products, the page is really branded in a way that reflects their taste, and then dealing with how that changes over time. So, hey, it's great that you got your holiday gifts, but those products are out of style 2 months later. They need to be updated constantly. And so even a very, very large enterprise brand building 10, 20, 30 pages is going to be months long of cycles and getting the curations, getting them up in the production, testing everything like that. You really don't want to throw them away when people change tastes. So even very enterprise brands, months and months of work to kind of build, you know, let's say half a dozen pages. And so I think both Kenyon and I are trying to solve that problem. You need software designed to get the tastes and help these creators build pages very, very quickly, instantaneously, automatically.
Who's actually building the page? Is this the brand that's building it? Or does the creator actually like take some kind of ownership over that? What does that look like from Kenyon? Let's start with you.
Yeah, I mean, the answer honestly is both. So like the way it works with Creator Commerce is the brand creates a template per se. We have a CMS, a drag and drop CMS, you know, similar, I guess, to what you can think of with like a tap card, or you drag and drop together all your sections. Some of those sections, though, are sections for the creator. And in the CMS, you'll see they're blank and they have skeleton states. And the reason why is when you click save on that template and you go into like a social snowball and you invite a bunch of affiliates to get their landing page, they get engaged with an onboarding flow where they choose their favorite products. They choose maybe a favorite color. They upload a profile picture, whatever you're trying to collect. And that gets compiled into those creator sections across your landing page so that ultimately you get that true co-branded page where it's the creator's content amongst the content that you know drives sales and you know performs.
Interesting. I saw a really cool tool on the SEO side when I was at Shop Talk. I'm a tool guy. If you guys follow me at all, I'm just always wanting to talk about new tools and different ways to use them. And in fact, so much so, I was actually going to create a whole other company around all of that. And I just haven't had the time to do it. But anyway, I can do it here. And this is a really interesting use case on the SEO side where they're building these pages that they were able to get incredible search terms ranked in one day on these. But the problem with a lot of this, right, as we know, especially in the age of AI, it's awesome. Great. We can whip up all these landing pages, but they don't really sell anything, right? They're just like, oh, great content. These are pages that actually sell. And so again, I don't even remember what the name of it is. I've got it somewhere in my contacts. I'm sure I'll tell you guys about it at some point. But I was thinking about this where it's like those elements are so important. So if we just sent somebody to a creator page that just talked about the creator, right, that doesn't really do anything for the brand. And then if we send people to just a regular brand page, again, there's not that ad sent or whatever that is. And so it's like making sure that those elements are within there. Gary, how do you guys attack that problem? And what does that look like from an automation kind of standpoint? And who are your integrations when it comes to some of this?
Yeah, I think the really important nuance that Kenyon teed up and you've also teed up really well is where the pages live. So Kenyon's pages, rightfully so, are going to give the creator a little bit more optionality and customization when they're building their page. Our pages are slightly different. So the process for us of an actual creator filling out their page is going to be a lot faster because the creators don't have quite as much optionality. And the reason for that is we live on the actual brand's domain, and it is really, really critical for brands to protect their brand at all costs. That's where they get premium pricing from and all those things. When you live on the domain, you're going to be under much tighter guidelines. And so our pages are built, you know, think of it as like, hey, one page template is going to be built on the brand site. And then we are giving the creators the optionality to curate all of their favorite products, curate their own collections, all their social content is going to be automatically ported in. So that happens automatically. And then basically it's up to the creators to curate their products and then just write their bio. And so we've got examples of they can upload their own images and stuff like that if it doesn't come in automatically through social. But we've really kind of intentionally limited what the creator can do to make sure it stays on brand, because that's where our pages live.
So is there like a multi-login type idea here, like where there's the brand login, there's the creator login? Like, is that similar for both of these platforms?
Yeah. So for us, it's really, really simple. You know, we have a couple of versions of this. We used to leverage more primarily like the actual brand's website login. So if you're logged into your site, that's your authentication and you don't have to do another login. What we found was so many creators actually don't even have accounts with the brand. It creates an extra step for login. Yeah. So I guess I gave a little shortcut for anybody trying to copy us, but what we determined was the best way to do it was just OTP, one-time password. So you have a link to your page, you can authenticate with your page pretty directly, and that's how you get into edit your products.
Cool. That's really good. Now, how about for you guys, Kenny? What does that look like?
Yeah, a bit similar. I mean, I think everybody should be moving into a passwordless concept in general. That's generally where we are. You take a look at the statistics online today. I think over 60% of consumers prefer signing with Google. The other 25% prefer email or text me a code. And only 5% of consumers are in the remainder are really preferring passwords. So we've kind of followed suit. So creators, when they receive their invitation to onboard, that link comes pre-authenticated. When they click that, they can start their onboarding process without even thinking about it. If they want to come back and edit their shop, edit the products they're recommending, they can sign in through Google or they can put in an email address and they'll get sent a code to put it in and start editing. But yeah, I mean, similar to Gary, we totally share that thought process. Passwords are going to become so abstract. Accounts are going to become so abstract. It's really just becoming about catering to the flows that are popular today, which is that today.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. When I get into something that I'm obsessed with, and it's pricing. First of all, I'm obsessed with pricing because I think that there's really interesting nuances with it. So for instance, this SEO product that I heard the other day, I saw it. I was like, amazing. I had a price in my head of what it should be. And I mean, I'm not the be all end all, but like I understand what value certain things have in the market and what people are willing to pay for it. And so when he told me the price, I was like, no, it's like, you're never going to get an agent. It was like $1,000 per brand. And I was like, you're never going to get an agency ever to pay you that. That just will never happen. I can't even imagine. That would be just a massive expense to an agency to have something like that. And so pricing, I think, is really important. There's a couple of things with that. And I'm just going to go ahead. I'm just going to talk for one sec about certain things with pricing. Yeah. And when it comes to whether to put your pricing on your site or not, that's another really interesting thing in SaaS and agency world. And you rarely ever see agencies do it. We're rebuilding our site right now with pricing first. We just want to be like completely open and actually have our pricing there because no one else does it. And it drives me insane. Like today I went to find two or three different software products and I just leave the site as soon as I can't find the pricing. And so honestly, guys, I don't even know if you have yours on or not. I'm just letting you know what I think in this world of no pricing being out there and being like, oh, talk to sales. It's like, well, I don't want to talk to sales. I don't have to talk to sales when I buy an e-com product. I just want to know the pricing. So I'm not going to ask you guys whether you have yours on or not, but I'd love to hear your pricing models. Gary, let's start with you. I'd love to hear your pricing model and where you find and where you think that this is adding value for both agencies and brands. Today's sponsor is Finale Inventory, a tool that I have personally used and loved for years. To me, it really stands out as the solution for accurate and efficient inventory management. It's trusted by thousands of brands. Finale offers seamless integration with over 80 sales channels, including TikTok shops, featuring customizable workflows and reporting to streamline your operations and scale with ease. Prevent overselling, maximize profitability, whether you are managing multiple sales channels, expanding your product range, or seeking ways to reduce operational costs. With Finale, you're equipped with the tools needed to succeed in today's e-commerce landscape. Interested in seeing how Finale can streamline your business operations? Visit finaleinventory.com and go check out the demo. I also do have a nice little promo code for you. Try Upgrowth 2024 for 20% off your first 6 months if you are a new user. Enhance your inventory management by visiting finaleinventory.com. Now back to today's episode.
Yeah, so the pricing model, we have to implement directly on the brand side. So one way or another, all of our deals are going to end up being with the brand, whether or not they were brokered by an agency or not.
Okay.
So we think about our pricing kind of more brand by brand. Pricing model has two components. We try to make it as simple as possible. SaaS component, we have to implement on the actual brand's website. So there's some hard costs with that. And there's a monthly SaaS fee. And then we also have a processing fee. So there's real costs for us whenever we process a transaction. You know, think of this as kind of the commission that we take. $10 is sold, we're going to take a percentage of that. And I would say long-term, our goal is to be as performance aligned as possible because we want to ultimately think our cost should be reflective of the value that we're driving for brands.
Totally.
So it's a mix right now and we want to move more towards the second piece.
Yeah, I totally understand. It's really interesting because we've been going really hard on the TikTok shop side. And like I've said before, and so we've been trying to work out this pricing model of like, well, hey, we want to be like pure performance. And so we actually did a bunch of just pure performance deals at first. The issue was the brands weren't getting back to us and they had no reason to. It was like, there was just no reason for them to do anything because they had no skin in the game. Yep. We were the only ones that actually had the skin in the game. And so even like one of them, we finally got approved for products a week ago after 2 months. And it's a big brand, right? That we really wanted to work with. And we just like weren't able to get all the paperwork and all that kind of stuff. And so there's an interesting thing when it's only performance. And I think, Kenny, I think that's kind of where you guys sit, right? Like right on the pure performance side right now.
We are. And honestly, a good tip for you, Jordan, that we're starting to experiment with and seeing some traction is offer credits. If you're going pure performance and you're not really getting the traction and the urgency to get rolling, we've been playing with the idea of, you know, it's our starter plan, by the way, it's 5% take rate. We have plans where you can move up where that's neutralized. If you want to go pure performance, that's what we offer. You don't pay anything, 5% take rate. And when I mentioned credits, it's an interesting strategy to play if you're a SaaS vendor out there, which is like, even though we don't have a trial, because it is pure performance, you can always say, we're going to give you $500 in credits if you commit to launching by April 15th. So that's something that's been working well with driving that in a pure performance play. But yeah, the way our model works, we like to plan for optionality. So we have a pure performance plan, the starter plan, 5% take rate. If you're just trying to like put your toes in, see if you actually get sales, that's what you have. And then we have several tiers that layer on top of that for the folks who are like, okay, this thing works. Let's invest more effort. Let's put some more gas into this. Then you can jump onto our $99 a month plan, which is something you can hang on to if you're making up to $5,000 in sales. Then we have a $400 a month plan, which we hang on up to for $50,000 in sales per month. And then an enterprise plan where that limit increases. And that's what we have it today. You know, we're still a pretty fresh company. So candidly, we've been trying to collaborate as much as we can with brands based on their needs, but that's generally where we've been following. That's kind of the pricing we publicize on our Shopify app listing. We don't quite have it on our website yet for very much that reason.
And quick plug for both of us. You mentioned TikTok shops. Both of our take rates are lower substantially than TikTok's at the moment.
Yeah, really interesting, especially as they're getting into that. I think it's going to be 8.5 here pretty soon or somewhere in there. Yep. Yeah, that's going to be an interesting transition. Yeah. And something else, again, I love TikTok shops, but the conversations that I'm having right now, as far as kind of service offerings on our side, is really this whole idea of it being this ecosystem working together. Guys, there's only 90,000 creators on TikTok shops right now. 90,000 out of like how many influencers are out there? Like millions upon millions, right? So it's not even close the amount of people that we can find. And those 90,000 are getting like 50 messages a day. And so making sure that, like, as hard as I am talking about TikTok shops, really what I'm talking about is turning the funnel upside down, right? It's starting with creators and figuring out what creators drive to your brand and using them as the yardstick of what to then pour gasoline in the form of ads and all of that kind of stuff on, right? And so I love what you guys are bringing to the world. Gary, if you could say one thing about somewhere that you don't serve or somewhere that you guys kind of fall flat, what would it be?
Yeah, well, I mean, if we want to talk about the difference between Kenyon and I's models, I definitely think there's different incentives for different folks. And actually, before I even do that, like I said, I promise I'd fanboy about Kenyon a little bit today. It's actually unbelievable how much traction they have based on kind of when they got started and all those things. And Kenyon, we haven't talked before today, but you wouldn't believe all the people I'm hearing about creator commerce from, not just brands. Like, I hear about it from brands, important people in the industry, just entrepreneur, major props on what you've been able to accomplish. And if I wasn't totally tied up in LoudCrowd, I'd be an investor. I think our successes are going to be positively correlated. So just major props to what you guys have accomplished. I'm very bullish on what you guys are going to do. In terms of kind of where we fall flat, and I don't really look at it like that, because I look at it like, like our relationship with our customers, and our customers are our brands. I think there's definitely a difference of incentives for all the parties involved. And I think a model like LoudCrowd is going to favor the brand and try to extract as much value for the brand. Whereas I think a model like Kenyon's is going to extract more value for the creator. Mm. And ultimately, the really high level way to think about it is who's at the center of a relationship. In Kenyon's model, the creator is definitely more at the center of the relationship. They're definitely more a critical component of that. With LoudCrowd, the brand is the center of the relationship, and we're trying to maximize value for the brand. So I would say, where do we fall flat the most is probably the incentives that we offer for creators. I think if you're a creator, you're better off probably with multiple brands on there. You don't have to build multiple storefronts. We're definitely trying to extract as much value as we possibly can for the brand.
Cool. Thanks, Gary. Really, really appreciate it. And also, I mean, guys, this is the nicest head-on episode that I can even imagine. Don't worry, they're going to get a little more intense after this. You have no doubt, guys. Kenny, where do you guys fall flat? Who are you just not serving right now? And nor do you even want to.
Yeah, that's a great question. And also, appreciate the kind words, Gary. I honestly feel like in the best way, LoudCrowd is hit me like a train in good way. I'm hearing really good things about you guys lately. So keep it up. You're doing some great things. And I think there's a massive opportunity right now. I think TikTok Shop is going to provide the great awakening for waking up brands and creators to just what more performance can do for affiliate, which is what's been missing, which is why we haven't seen the nuclear explosion that's happening now, thanks to TikTok Shop. But that's it. I guess I would look at it a little bit differently. I'll actually say an area where I would say we fall flat, but I would say we are also focused on extracting value for the brand. I wouldn't say that because we're giving a little bit more control to the creator means we're taking away value from the brand. I'd say it can be a bit uncomfortable for brands to step away from their DTC channel. That's what we had to fight for at TapCart, getting them to accept the idea of having a different storefront other than brand.com was a huge challenge at TapCart. And as a result of that, by owning the storefront on our side and the technology side, and what we can do with testing, swapping out content, controlling that storefront led to an amazing long coattail and improved ROI for those merchants. And that's effectively what we're doing at Creator Commerce by allowing the storefront to live a little bit further away from your main domain, but still allow your brand to completely control the content end to end and to layer and slot in the creator's brand kit and theme where it's appropriate. That's ultimately the recipe that we're trying to drive to just bring creator to consumer to the mainstream and make it equitable. That's kind of what's been missing in the past. Creators actually wanting to buy and ensure the affiliate link. That's ultimately what we're trying to solve. But where we feel is worth pointing out a really core difference is the scope of the platform. I'm pretty sure LoudCrowd's an end-to-end platform. Let me know if I'm wrong, Gary, but I think you don't need an integration partner to use you guys. You can show up and LoudCrowd's going to handle you all the way to launching your creator-to-consumer selling experiences. Creator commerce is candidly a little bit different, and it's a little bit by design. It's a little bit based on just how we've kind of gone to market, where to use creator commerce, you're actually going to want to pair us with an affiliate platform, like I've been mentioning, Social Snowball, Shopify Collabs, any other platform you may be using. And maybe that's by design. Honestly, it's also just incidental where the team who's founding Creator Commerce, we have a lot of experience in storefronts. That's what we've built. That's what we've done at TapCart. And so we're focused on driving storefronts. And we view that relationship management is a very distinct problem from performance management. We're focused on performance management, and we leave relationship management up to the folks who built their entire platforms around that. And that's a really interesting core component about Creator Commerce. So if you already have an affiliate provider, it's a natural next step to use Creator Commerce. If you don't have an affiliate provider, that may be something to gauge an affiliate provider you would need to use Creator Commerce.
Yeah. And if you don't mind me kind of laying some thoughts there, Jordan. So number one, Kenyon, I think you've actually made the right decision. So we do offer end-to-end support, but I think you and I both have to be focused on what our core IP is. And our core IP is building really, really high converting storefronts. So as much as LoudCrowd can do to stay out of the affiliate game, so to speak, we really work on that. I think we can all plug our mutual friend, Noah from Social Snowball. Like, he has built a really, really good platform. And as much as we can leverage tools like that, we absolutely should. So out of necessity at points, LoudCrowd does offer the end-to-end, but we're also more than happy to kind of partner with these affiliate platforms. And I think it's in our best interest as kind of the CEOs, if we can spend a little bit more time on the storefronts, a little bit less time on the affiliate technology. Obviously, for you personally, it's going to create obstacles into getting launched. If somebody's not already a Snowball client or something like that, we've got something to deal with. But I think net for the industry, it's a positive thing that we kind of can outsource as much of that as we possibly can and focus on conversions.
Well, guys, it's clear that you are both in a tide that is rising. You're both boats on this tide, and it's great to see the two of you not throwing rocks at each other there and trying to sink each other's ship. And I think that you're right. I think that Noah drives me crazy. I'm like, you're 25 years old, dude. You look like a baby. How are you building?
They're all babies. Kenyon's a baby too.
Yeah, at least he's got a beard, so he doesn't look like a baby, but you know. I saw Noah posted this great like compilation of photos, and one of them was getting onto a JSX plane, which we all know. I mean, it's not that expensive, but they look like private jets. And I was like, come on, bro. Come on. At 38, I just can't do that kind of stuff anymore, you know? You can barely hold a conversation together with two young people like you. No, actually, I don't know how you are, Gary, but you look young. Guys, I just want to say this was really, really great. A couple of closing thoughts from me here, guys. This is just the beginning of what I really believe that influencer marketing should have been all along and is going to be. And the two of you are really creating this environment, specifically in the direct consumer space, where it is all going to be about performance with influencers. And you guys are creating something incredibly special. You know, this is a huge thing. I'm sure you guys are both like seeing stuff about TikTok Shop and TikTok being banned and being like, well, we're here. We're the other one. But either
not going to be, it's a hard thing for a lot of people to kind of wrap their minds around. But yes, we're going to be paying attention to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But either way, with this ecosystem, this is the way. Right? This is the way. And again, on TikTok Shop, it's not as though they can send to a specific, like really nicely branded type experience you guys are creating. And I'm excited. I see use cases from our agency for certain brands on both sides. And so I'm really excited to work potentially with both of you guys on this. And I just want to say thank you guys so much for coming on. We're going to do one thing here. We're going to end just with a single word to remember. Kenyon, let's go with you.
Single word. Like a literally a single
word? It's just a single word, man. Just a single word.
Grateful. Grateful for the moment.
Okay.
Grateful for this moment.
I like that, Kenyon. And Gary, how about you?
I'm glad I had more time to think about it than Kenyon. Not necessarily related to anything that we do, but the word around here is grit. So I think it's super important for everybody, whether you're a business owner or you're fighting in professional stuff or anything in your life. I think grittiness and perseverance is the most important thing.
I am with you. Thank you guys so much. Everyone listening to this episode, just remember that all of the things we talked about will be down in the show notes. We're going to be having links to LoudCrowd and Creator Commerce. I want you guys to check it all out yourself, decide which one is best for you. I really appreciate both of you coming on, being so kind in this particular episode. It was just an absolute pleasure. And I can't wait to connect with both of you in real life sometime, maybe at an event or something like that. And thank you again so much for your time today.
Yeah, thanks, Jordan. Really great meeting you,
Gary. Thanks, Jordan.
Thanks, guys.
Nice meeting you as well. And sorry we weren't meaner to each other, Jordan. Next time, we'll fight a little.
Oh, yeah, next time. Yeah. Awesome.
Hey, guys, just wanted to say thanks again so much for listening to the podcast. If I could ask one favor of you, it would be to share this with your other e-commerce store owner friends. We want everyone in the e-com space to be listening to this podcast, and lots of you guys already are, and we really, really appreciate that. One last thing before you go as well is we are offering to our podcast listeners a free e-commerce growth plan where we go from strategy to sale with your brand in this e-commerce growth plan. So feel free to go to www.upgrowthcommerce.com/grow and apply for a free growth plan today. Thank you all again so much for listening.